First Samuel, chapter number 30. Before the message this morning, I'd like to thank the church for this past week and a half, for being so kind to our family, my uncle, my mom's little brother, Miss Fox, Mama Betty's youngest son, went home to be with the Lord on November 15th, and thank the church for all the phone calls and the food, so kind words, all the prayers, been so kind to us. Thank you for that. I want to thank the Benevolence Committee for feeding us and all the work those ladies do on that project. Thank you so very much. I know you don't do it for recognition, but one day you'll be rewarded for it. We want to thank you for it. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Begin reading in verse number 1. Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep." Verse number 6, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor." Father, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity to come once again to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, Father, this time of Thanksgiving, Lord. We're so thankful. We reflect on your kindness, your grace, your goodness, your compassions toward us. But God, we thank you this morning that we can come to the house of God to read the word of God, to sing the songs, to uplift your son's name. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that came out this morning. No doubt we're a needy people. Many's hurting, many's sick, many's facing battles, hardships. God, I pray that your hand, your protection, your guidance, your strength, your encouragement would find them, help them, and encourage them. God, we bless you this morning. I thank you for our youth. I thank you for our young people. God, I thank you for each and every one that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we read of a man of God, David, a servant of God, a mighty man, a warrior of God who has every good thing, every joyful thing in his life taken away from him. Everyone, everything in his life that brings him joy, that brings him happiness, excitement, jubilation, love. We find the enemy has came in, has robbed, has stolen, has taken away. David has left this city, Ziklag, unguarded. David had traveled northward. He was somewhere he shouldn't have been. He was mingling and he was meddling with the Philistine army, a place he shouldn't have been. And during this time, the enemy comes. They invade the land. They invade the city. It robs David. It destroys David's homes. It takes David's prized possessions away. His family's in captives. And it steals the very dearest, nearest things to David's heart. This morning, many of us, we may find ourselves in this same situation that David has faced. Those things that we once held near and dear to our lives, the things that we so much loved, we took pride, they were our most beloved possessions, our children, perhaps our grandchildren, the joy you may used to have, the song on your lips or the praise in your heart, the thing that the enemy has robbed, has taken away from you, whether it may be you have left it unguarded as David did, or maybe perhaps because of choices, poor choices, sin, perhaps life itself or circumstances you could not control, you find that the enemy has came in and robbed you just as they had robbed David. I feel compelled this morning to preach on the thought, getting back what has been gone. Getting back what Satan has taken. Getting back what the enemy has robbed and what the enemy has taken away. In our text, we find David comes to a city, and David has a welcome that was not wanted. David, in our text, he's coming home. He has been in the northern area of the land. He comes home. He's been fighting. He's been going to battle. He's been facing war, opposition. And David finds the remains of the city, Ziklag, his home, destruction. He finds total devastation. He finds the city is lying in rubble and ruins. It's nothing more than a smoking, a heap of ash. The city has been ransacked. It's looted and now is burnt down. David, he finds a welcome that he did not want. He was expecting probably a warm welcome. His family, his friends, his wives, his children, his sons and daughters coming out to welcome him, falling upon his neck and welcoming him home and hugging him and loving him and showing him love and compassion. But find David, he finds destruction. He finds the city is burnt down. It lays in ruins. His family's gone. His prized possessions has been taken away. And David is so much distressed. We find his children's gone. His heritage, his loved ones, his wives, and his family. It's a welcome that David did not want. I believe just like you and I, David would have probably been shooken to the core. His loved ones gone, his family, his children, his sons, his daughters, his friends are taken captive by some wicked, some vile, enemy of God. We find that they were the enemies of Judah. They were the enemies of David. They were the enemies of God himself. And David, I want to say this morning, was not bothered by war. War, I don't think, bothered David personally. I believe David thrived. I believe David looked forward to going to battle. War did not bother David. It did not bother him to stand face to face with a man and toe to toe with an enemy and swing a sword or cast a spear. That did not bother David. The Bible says that David couldn't build the temple. God wouldn't allow it because David was a man of war. War did not bother David. But we find this morning David's family and his friends and his loved ones, his prized possessions, that which he loved the most was gone, and he's shaken to the core. I can see his family and his sons and his daughters now sitting there in that foreign land. I can believe that David was saying, I cannot believe this would ever happen to me. He was probably saying, I cannot believe this ever happened to my family. I cannot believe this ever happened to my household, my children, or even my city. And I cannot believe this would ever happen to me. I'm preaching, I believe, this morning to people just like David. You're sitting in the house of God, and you have those same thoughts. I cannot believe this would ever happen to me. It would ever happen to my family. You're wonderful folks, you're God-fearing people, you're faithful in Christ, you're faithful to the house of God, you're great Christians, yet you find yourself in unbelief. Unbelief. Don't understand. You can't comprehend. Shaken as David was to the very core. Saying, I never thought this would happen. There's been so many tragedies, it seems, in our families lately. It seems there's been children winding up in certain situations. Homes being destroyed or being lied in distress. And it leaves us wondering, I never thought this would happen. David, in our text this morning, he finds a welcome that he did not want. But I see number two, David was also very weary in well-doing. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. David's family's captive. His children, his sons, his daughters, his wives are taken hostage. They've been stolen, taken away. And David comes home. He finds a welcome that he did not want. And David's so weary in his well-doing. I can see his traveling back. There was no time for David to rest. There was no time for David to, no doubt he was hungry. No time for him to eat or to change clothes or to lay down, to relax. He was tired, I believe, in body. He was probably tired in mind, and he was weary in his well-doing. We just read David had 600 men. So out of the 600 men, 200 were so weary, so faint, that they could not even go on. Verse 10 says they were faint, that they could not even cross the brook Besor. Means the brook of cheer, the brook of cheerfulness. They were so faint, so weary and well-doing, it seems they could not even be cheered up. We find they were exhausted, they were faint, they were weary and well-doing. But notice, David keeps going on. David keeps walking by faith. David keeps trusting God. David keeps clinging to the promises that the Lord gave him in our text. And although David's tired, although David's weary, although David is faint, he keeps going on. You know, this morning we find ourselves in that same situation, weary in well-doing. We've prayed the best we know how. We've fasted. We've sought God. We've read our Bible. We've cried to Him. We've been faithful to the house of God. Yet we're weary in mind. We're weary in body and weary in soul. And it's so easy this time of day to get weary in well-doing. I was thinking about all that's going on in 2020. The virus going on, and the political landscape, and the political unrest, and all that Satan has done to tear down and destroy. But I want to encourage you this morning, like David, it's not time for you and I to relax. It's not time for us to back up. It's not time for us to take our foot off the gas or to throw in the towel or to quit. It's not time to lay down and rest. Moreover, it's time for us to go just a little further. It's time for us to lift our voice in praise and to exalt our Savior and to witness to the lost and to stand up and proclaim the promises of God. It's easy to get weary in well-doing. Paul, two times, tells us about being weary in well-doing. Once in Galatians and once in Thessalonians. He says in Galatians chapter 6, not to be weary in well-doing. Why would Paul, through inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost, give us those words? Because Paul knew. Paul could experience the weariness in well-doing. Galatians 6, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." David comes to the city. It lies in ruins and smoking heap of ash. His family's been taken. His prized possessions robbed. It's been taken away from him. It's a welcome that he did not want. David's been faithful. He's tried to do as the Lord pleased. He's been faithful to serve God. He's weary in well-doing. But I see thirdly, David determines just to walk on. Verse number 8. The Bible says, David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue." David inquires. He prays. He seeks God. And he says, "Lord, do I pursue the enemy? Do I follow after what you gave me? And if I do, shall I overtake them?" Verse 8, it says, "And he," that's the Lord, "and he," the Lord, "answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." How was David going to get back what the enemy had taken? How was David going to get back what had been robbed from him? How was he going to get back those gifts, that joy, the blessings, the riches of life that only come from God? I see he's simply going to walk on. He's simply going to pursue. Means to walk after, means to follow after, means to chase after. God gave David assignment. He said, pursue. And God gave David assurance. He said, you'll surely recover all. We find that true tonight. We find that when God, you and I, when he gives us direction, he'll always give us deliverance. When he gives us a project, he'll give us a promise. When God gives us a responsibility, they will be a great reward. David knew if he did not give up, he knew if he pursued, he knew if he walked on, he kept trusting God, he kept praying, he kept being faithful. The Bible says, without fail, you will recover all. How's David going to get it back? How's David going to get back what the enemy's taken from him? It's very simple. He's going to keep walking on. But in doing so, in this pursuing and walking on and not giving up and continuing the fight, I see David is going to weep. There's weeping in this text. We find in verse 4, it says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's pursuing. He's walking on. He's continuing the fight. He's going to go after what God had given him and the enemy had taken away. But he starts to weep. You say, what's he weeping for? I want to say, number one, he was weeping because someone had a burden. Can you see David? His daughters, his sons, his wife, his family, sitting down there in a foreign land, their hands are bound. They were probably hungry and cold. They have been mistreated. They were bound and captive. They were there thinking, what's going to happen next? What are they going to do next? Where are they going to take us next? They were probably thinking, if someone would just come and rescue us. But they were thinking, no one cares for us. No one knows where we're at. No one knows where to find us. No one knows our conditions, and no one knows what we're going through. Nobody cares. But what they didn't know, back in Ziklag, there was somebody weeping for them. There was somebody shedding tears. There was somebody had a burden for them. And although David did not know where they were at, and although David did not know what to do, David had a burden. David had a brokenness, and David was weeping because he had a burden for someone. I want to say this morning, it would be good for us if God would give us our tears back. It would be good if God would soften our hearts. He would give us a burden. He would break us for our lost family members, weeping for those that went astray, give us a brokenness for struggling church members. David was weeping. David was burdened. David was weeping because he had a burden for someone. When we think of David, no doubt you think of David and that terrible, horrific sin that he committed with Bathsheba. David tried to cover that sin. David thought he had it hidden. He thought he had it hidden from all those around him. But Nathan the prophet, Nathan the man of God, comes to David and he points David out. He calls David out. He calls David's sin out. David then pins down Psalms 51. We read Psalms 51. It speaks of David's brokenness. It speaks of David's tears, David's heartache. In Psalms 51, David is seeking God's forgiveness. And David writes things like this in Psalms 51. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me, deliver me, blot out my transgressions, create me a clean heart, renew the right spirit within me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David is asking, he's pleading, he's begging God, beseeching God to restore the fellowship that he once had. And matter of fact, in Psalms 51:16, he said, for thou desirest not a sacrifice, else would I give it? You see, David would do anything He would give anything. He would sacrifice. He would give the burnt offering if God would listen and answer his prayers. But notice what David says in verse 17 of Psalms 51. He said, the sacrifices of God, here it is, are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, will thou not despise. In our text, David gets God's attention. David gets God's ear. God would not despise his prayer. He would not despise his weeping. God would not turn David away because he was broken, because he had a burden, because he was weeping for someone, the souls that he once loved, those that have went astray, and those that the enemy has taken. David's weeping. David's broken. David has God's attention because he had a burden for someone. But also see that David wept because the society wanted him to bruise him. Look at verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. We find David, he's not only lost his family, his sons, his daughters, his wives, now his friends, his brothers in arms, those that stood by him and fought, though his peers, those he went to battle with, they want to kill him. They want to bruise him. They're saying, David, all this is your fault. David, if we'd have been here, if we'd have protected this city, this would have never happened. And David is weeping. He's grieving, not only for his family, but he's because those that is closest to him wanted to kill him. Let me say this morning, what we're doing here at Fletcher First Baptist Church, come to church on a Sunday morning, come to church on a Sunday night, come to church on a midweek service, is widely unpopular, it's mostly unwelcome, and it's mostly unwanted. Coming and lifting up Jesus Christ, singing songs that praise our Savior, glorifying the Redeemer, uplifting his name, shouting praises and exaltation to him is unwanted by most. In 2020, being a true, born again, blood bought child of God is not reverenced and revered like it once was. But it's our job. Although the society wants to bruise us, the society is unwanted by us, we find we should still weep for the lost. We still need to share the gospel. We still need to preach the word. We need to still show the compassion of Christ and show the love of God. David's weeping for somebody. He's weeping. He's broken because society wants to bruise him. But I notice what David does in verse 6. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David is weeping. David is broken. David has found a welcome that's not wanted. He's weary in well-doing, but David begins to encourage himself in his Lord. Hey, David, all these people want to stone you. David, they have rocks and stones in their hands. What are you going to do? I know, but I just want to praise God that I'm standing on the solid rock. Hey, David, your family's gone, your prized possession, your sons, your daughters, your wives. What are you going to do, David? I know. I just want to thank my God that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, David, these troops of men far outnumber us. What are we going to do? I just want to stand and thank God and praise God for saving my soul. Hey, David, there's a pandemic in 2020. We see there's sickness and distress on every hand. There's nations in turmoil. Ungodly is prospering. There's a great falling away. What are we going to do, David? I don't know, but I just want to stand and praise God to say, I thank him for things are well with me as they are. Although this morning we may be weeping, although this morning we may be broken, our family and our friends and those things that are precious that seem like it's gone to the world, Satan stole them. If we're saved, we can stand and encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money or possessions, but Lord, I have you. That's all that matters. though this world may not see, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. David, he comes to the city. There's a welcome he did not want. He comes to the city. He's been weary and well-doing. David comes. He sees all that's going on. He begins to weep for somebody and for society. But let me say, David continues to walk on. He continues to pursue. He continues to walk in faith. He continues to trust God. But David also, I see, wins the victory. Verse number 17. David decides to pursue. He decides to weep for his family, those that have been stolen by the enemy. He decides to walk on, and he decides to weep, and he's weary and well-doing. But now David wins the victory. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled." David now is going to recover all that had been taken from him. Why? Because he walked on. Why? Because he encouraged himself. Why? Because he found a burden that was worthy to be broken over. But I notice in this text, David's battle, David's fight, David's war, his engagement happens in the valley, and it happens at night. We notice he's fighting the Elimelechs. Their name means dwellers in the valley. David comes and finds the enemy down in the valley, and we notice the Bible says he begins to fight them, smote them from twilight evening to the evening of the next day. It's at nighttime. It's in the valley. It's when David can't see. It's when he's fighting and battling in the darkness of night. Down in the valley where those shadows loom, where the darkness of night has set in. David, I don't think, probably could see his way out. David probably could not see where the enemy was. David probably did not know how many was before him, behind him, or surrounded him. But David, in the night, David in the valley, under the shadows of night, all he kept doing was swinging his sword. All David knew was to keep fighting. All he knew was to keep trusting God. All he knew is to cling to that promise, "Without fail, David, you will recover all." Let me say this morning, our battles, they're fought in the night. They're fought in the valley. When we're on the mountaintop and when we can see and all is well, everyone's healthy, all is good, that's not where we fight our battles. Our battles will be fought down in the night seasons of life. You may be in a night season here this morning. You've wept. You've had a burden for someone. It seems like society, maybe your friends or your family, your peers are against you. We need to decide in the night, down in the valley, we're just going to continue to walk on. We're going to continue to swing our sword. We're going to continue to cast our spear. We're going to continue to fight the enemy. You've decided and you faced a welcome that you did not want. Maybe a letter or a phone call, the news from the doctor, the news from that you did not want to hear. What are you going to do, David? How are you going to get back what the enemy's taken from you? We're going to have to continue to walk on. You may be weary and well-doing. You're faithful. You come to church. Good church members. You love the Lord. Do what's right. What are you going to do? Weary and well-doing. Continue to walk on. How did David get back everything the enemy took from him? He went on. He walked on. He wept. And he pursued. You know, this morning, we're facing a great enemy. We face Satan himself. We face the carnality and the draw and the influences of the world. Seems like our children are being pulled from our families, pulled from the house of God, the things of God. We just need to continue to weep, continue to walk on, and encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's my message this morning. How are we going to get back what the Satan has taken? How are we going to get back what's gone? Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of this morning. Father, for the truths, for the promises that we can proclaim in the word of God. Father, I ask you this morning that you would help, you would encourage those that may be in the night season of life, maybe as David found themselves in the valley in the dark, fighting the enemy. God, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's cold, that's indifferent, Lord, that you'd give our tears back. You'd give us the burden. You'd give us the care and the brokenness, Father, that you so much desire. Lord, I pray that you'd save the lost. Maybe there's someone this morning, under the sound of my voice, that's never accepted you as Jesus Christ, their Lord. Save them, Lord. Convict them, Lord. Do that only you can do, and we'll thank you for it. Father, you know the needs of the hour. I pray you'd meet them according to your riches and glory by your Son, Jesus Christ.